Wow. The two hosers turning 200? That's amazing. That's... Wait, wait. Hold on. This is so amazing. I'm gonna... There you have it. 200. Wow. I mean, I do remember when the show was just this teeny tiny little Canadian whippersnapper. And now... Wow. Adam, you've done an amazing job. And that's just the first 200. Keep it going. Keep it going. Photographers around the globe need you.
Hello and welcome to episode 200 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, still Vancouver.
I say always, it's been 200 in a row, man.
It's huge.
First of all, Marquardt, thanks. That was Chris Marquardt, by the way, and you heard in the intro from Tips from the Top Floor. Big fan of you, evidently.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... It felt good to really be acknowledged for all my hard work. I did not hear your name.
What's going on, Adam?
Halloween?
The answer is 200. Before we get to Halloween, obviously Halloween, and we did Halloween too.
Okay. All right.
But the answer is 200.
200, yeah. 200's going on. Can I stop now?
At 200?
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
Well, you mean quit, like you're done.
Yes. That my whole my goal was always just to get to 200.
Yeah, sure it was. It's like, I think the goal was 10.
It was like running a marathon. My goal is usually to get through the week.
Yeah. I try to go 39 kilometers and then just shut her down. Forget the last one.
Yeah.
You know, good enough.
So I always say this is sort of awkward because I didn't tell you that ahead of time. But
do you have a replacement?
I don't know. I'm going to be pretty hard to replace. I'm going to tell you that much.
Yeah, I'm sure that there are a dime a dozen down at the marketplace. I'm sure I'll go find some guy who doesn't even really speak English or own a camera. Yeah.
See, that would be a true testament to your teaching.
A guy who doesn't speak English or own a camera?
Yeah. And maybe he doesn't even have pants.
I pants, that's where I draw the line. I'm okay with no shirt.
Okay.
No shirt, but pants is the cutoff.
Okay, pants.
Speaking of which, right. T-shirts. Uh-oh. It's November. We're recording this on November the 2nd.
Right.
Oh, not those T-shirts.
I was going to say, I stopped asking a while ago.
Yeah, no. We actually got somebody else asked to. But I would, it's, yeah, okay. I'm not even going to talk about that. I'm just saying that it's November the 2nd when we're recording this.
Right.
November the 3rd when it's released.
Okay.
And in Germany, 2 days in a row now, we've gone for hikes. I just got back from a hike in the woods wearing a T-shirt.
Wow.
The weather is that in November. I can't believe it. My kid was running around barefoot yesterday. That's the weather. And I'm not talking about, okay, it's, you know, plus 4 and she's a tough kid. No. Riding around on a bicycle barefoot because it's so unbelievably warm here. The summer will not end.
Wow. I'm not happy for you.
I'm getting mosquito bites in November, so it kind of evens out.
Okay.
Yeah. Halloween. You mentioned Halloween.
Yes.
How was Halloween?
It was good. Yeah. Kids are...
For example.
Kids are now at an age where it's the best thing ever for them. So it's, yeah, tie between Christmas and Halloween.
Yeah, good point. I don't know. Halloween might tip the scales.
Yeah, they really enjoy the costume part of it, both wearing them to school and out for the trick-or-treating. And their endurance for the trick-or-treating has grown exponentially from last year. So
I see.
Yeah, so they really enjoyed that part of it. And we have been getting nothing but rain, but fortunately there was a break in the... in the rain for a good few hours to allow for perfect climate for trick-or-treating. So that was nice.
Love it.
Yeah. So, no, they were really into it. And I went to Jack's school because I don't work on Fridays, and Halloween fell on a Friday. So I went and volunteered and took my camera and then shot photos. The teacher of Jack's kindergarten knows that I do the photography thing. So she was more than happy to let me come in and just take photos of all the kindergarten kids in their costumes. And they do kind of like fun Halloween activities in the morning. So parents were open to come in and volunteer. So I just kind of roamed around and took photos. So that was fun. Got lots of good pictures of the kids. And so I will hand that back to the teacher probably on Monday.
Great.
Yeah. Thinking maybe I'll make a little slideshow so that they can just kind of play it, maybe disperse it amongst the parents as well. So rather than just give a, 200 JPEG images, which I'm not sure whether she'll be able to use that, thought I'd make a little mini slideshow, maybe, like a 4-minute long slideshow with the Halloween themed song in it and just give that to her.
Or even better, publish it on YouTube.
Oh, no, I will not do that.
But there's more. Wasn't publish it on YouTube the end?
Yes.
It was publish it on YouTube, but do so as a private link.
Right.
So that they can give the link out, and then anyone, they can watch it with that specific link, but nobody else can search for it. It's not public.
Right. I'm still even a little wary with that. I'd rather give that to the teacher and make that her responsibility.
Won't happen.
Yeah, it might not happen, but there's a whole bunch of, and I'm not sure if Germany's the same, there's a bunch of privacy laws that I'm not even sure if that's okay without written consent from the parents.
Wonderful. It's a great world we live in.
Except for you go into the classroom and everybody's snapping photos. So it's kind of a, not sure where everybody lands on this, but I just know for myself, I will rather make the slideshow, hand it to the teacher as a hard copy, and then I'm sure she'll, show it to other teachers. I'm sure at some point, copies could be made for parents, but I'm just saying, I'm not sure I would go ahead and publish it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
The end.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah. It's 200. So that's it. That's what's going on. Oh, I had another thing that's going on.
Okay, but my Halloween.
No, I don't really.
Are we done Halloween?
I don't really care about your Halloween.
We had a barbecue.
Oh.
We had a Halloween barbecue. Again, the weather is great. They don't do Halloween here.
Okay.
Like, it's a thing. It's catching on. For example, we actually had a couple of people ask my wife for her pumpkin pie recipe. They went from, ooh, I'm not going to put that in my mouth, to, wow, maybe I'll make this at home.
Okay.
So it's catching on there. There was two trick-or-treaters came to the house.
Wow.
Although two separate groups of kids, two groups of three or something like that. That was it. But
did you have candy ready for them?
Yeah, we had a little bit. We had a little bit because we had a Halloween party. We throw the Halloween party every year. So that's what we do. Like, so all of our friends and their kids. We have all of our friends basically had kids all at the same time.
Okay.
And everyone's kid within a couple of months, everyone's the same age. Within 5 years, but you get the idea.
Right.
And so we had a ton of people. Like, I don't know how many people over at the house. Like, ballpark 50 people.
Wow.
And it was great because, the weather was cooperated, so we kind of had a party inside, a little dance party, and then moved outside when it got a little chillier and dark, and out in the front, out in the street, basically got the barbecue out, made hot dogs, had a great time. Everyone had a great time. But we had some candy and ready for, in case any kids came, and a couple of them did. And then the first kid that came to the door, basically my wife, gave the kid some candy, and she just handed it back. No, I don't like that. Do you have something else? Yeah. She and my wife just handed it right back and said, no, get out of here. That's that.
Wow, your wife's so mean.
I don't know. I think she's just German. Yeah. But it's that's how the Germans do Halloween, evidently. But next year, like, there was no, like, in the kindergarten class, there was no costumes. And next year, I'm going to basically put the note out ahead of time that my daughter will be wearing a costume to kindergarten. So if anybody else wants to follow suit, go ahead. Otherwise, she'll be the only one having fun. So, but listen, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You've been to barbecues. Like, this isn't hot Halloween. This is a barbecue question.
Okay. I'm your guy.
I want an honest answer. You've been to other people's houses when they've had barbecues?
Yes.
Now, we didn't do anything crazy. We just barbecued hot dogs because we had a lot of kids, so there was nothing crazy. We just barbecued a ton of hot dogs.
Okay.
So I go and fire all the hot dogs on the barbecue out front, And then a couple of my buddies show up, and they haven't seen my house yet. We just, like I said, we just moved, and so they wanted to go get a quick tour of the house. And so I said, all right, well, I'll take you in, show you the ground floor, and then I'm going to buzz back out. You guys go ahead, look through the rest of the house on your own. I want to make sure I don't burn the hot dogs.
Right.
So I head back out, and there's one of our friends. He's there, and he's manning the grill. And I've been gone for, you know, 2 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, but he's making sure they're not burning. So he's got the tongs and he's flipping the, kind of moving the hot dogs around.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh yeah, I appreciate that. And so I kind of give him the old, I'll stand like a little bit uncomfortably close, meaning
I've got it from here.
Exactly. That's exactly what that means.
Yeah.
There's no confusion.
He knows.
Well, there was
confusion. He knows it's your house, right?
This is why I ask. Okay. So I'm kind of like, oh hey, thanks for doing that.
Did you give him the did you give him the shoulder tap, the double tap?
No, I didn't. Not necessary. Like if you had walked up behind me, and just not even touched me, I would feel your presence and be like, oh, here you go, man. Like I would be looking for you, to give you your barbecue tongs back.
Right. Yes.
Like I would be. My head would be on a swivel. Like look, I don't sit at the head of anyone else's table, and I don't man their barbecue on my own.
Right.
So anyway, so he sees me, and then he just continues flipping the hot dogs. And I was like, oh, okay. I say, hey, listen, like, two things. One, I want you to go have fun at the party. It's kind of my response. I'm the host here. So go, and I was like, hey, listen, I got it from here. Actual words.
Right.
Nothing. Continued flipping. And I was like, okay, now I'm fired up, okay? And I was like, no, seriously, go grab yourself a beer and I'll take it from here. He got pissy and says and hands me the tongs and says, oh, I guess you're a professional.
Did you tell him you were?
No, I was too busy biting my lower lip to keep from blowing up. And then the blood trickling down my chin was a dead giveaway that I was about to, I was a powder keg. I was just going to go off. So anyways, it ends quietly. He kind of walks away in a huff. I didn't really care. And so cut to 5 minutes later, the hot dogs are done now. We've got about 20 kids and 20 parents, or ballpark numbers, right?
Yeah.
One kid was sitting there like, he's 3 years old. He's waiting for a hot dog patiently. He's just like, oh, he's so hungry. And so I give him the first one. Of course, he's a kid. Hey, you ready? You got your bun ready? Boom, here we go. The next guy in line before the other 19 kids. Yeah, barbecue guy.
He wanted to make sure that that you did an appropriate job.
But he has two kids of his own and a wife. Would you ever, A, eat before your kids?
No.
B, other kids?
But he obviously had a vested interest in how this barbecue went.
No. There's no excuse.
I know there's no excuse. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
Like I was already a race car in the red, and then he's the second guy in line.
Yeah.
On top of that, I'm not joking, had somewhere between 3 and 4 hot dogs before I had one.
I thought you were gonna say he took two bites and they just spit it all over the counter. This is terrible.
You know what? I would have respected him if he'd done that. That's a power move. But the rest of this, eating before your own kids and other people's kids at a Halloween barbecue, like know one guy who's not getting invited.
Wait a second.
Back.
Let's back up here. This is you invited your friends to this barbecue.
Okay, it's a pretty good chance he's not listening. So he is married or something to one of my wife's friends.
Oh, okay. So then it's totally okay.
Okay, but listen. Let me even set the stage even further. Like, I don't know, 5, 6 years ago, before any of us had kids, he invited us, like they were living together near us. They said, hey, we're having a barbecue. Everybody come over. We're having a barbecue. And that was back in the day when you just brought all your own stuff. Like, it wasn't like one guy hosting and cooking everything. You brought your own barbecue stuff.
Yeah.
So we get there, and I'm thinking, like, I've been to his apartment. It's a cool apartment, but they don't really have a balcony. They have sort of like a birdcage hanging off the bedroom window sort of thing, like this. Like one person can stand on it.
Right.
Where are we going to barbecue? Like maybe we're going to go out in the yard. I don't know. And I get there and I am not embellishing the story at all. From the kitchen all the way through the apartment and out the window is one of those orange extension cords. And he has a George Foreman grill on like an apple crate. That was the barbecue.
So there's a history of strange barbecuing experiences with this individual.
Yes.
All right. Well, I hope you don't invite him to the next one.
I'm pretty sure that fate has been sealed.
Okay. Okay.
Like, I may invite him and just refuse to serve him.
Right. Or it makes for another interesting story.
I don't know.
Is it worth it?
It's been, what is it now? Been 3 days? No, 48 hours since that happened.
And you're still livid.
My blood pressure is a little bit high. My wife's tired of hearing it now. She's like, you should have just fought him and got it over with.
Right.
That would have been the way to go. So there you go. That was Halloween. Now I cut you off. What were you saying?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll cover it later.
We have an update on our accidental erase story.
Okay.
Do you remember I'm trying to think back.
Yes, I remember. I remember. It was like maybe two episodes ago. We did a whole episode about it. I blamed you for repeating a previous episode, but then I was glad that you did because I learned so much.
You learn a little bit more. There's a little bit more to the plot.
Okay. So just bring us up to speed. Give us a little summary of what happened.
Now, I'm going to try to remember. Was it Neil?
No, it doesn't matter. Name doesn't matter.
Well, it does to him.
Yeah, but we're okay. The rest of us are okay.
Okay. I think it was Neil. No, that was the lost episode guy.
Great. Can you just name some other names?
I don't know. Craig.
Okay, Craig. Let's go. Go with Craig.
Might have been Craig. Now, I don't have it in front of me, but anyways, we remember the story.
Can you hear my kids yelling in the background?
I honestly thought it was my kids yelling in the background.
No, and someone just started to cry.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Luckily, that's not really your problem.
I should really close my door. Do you want to just start talking while I close close the door?
Go ahead.
Close the door to my studio? Hold on one second.
Yeah, go ahead. So anyway, I'm gonna while you're closing that door, I'm going to go ahead and find that name because I feel bad not knowing the name. So I'm looking that up right now, Adam.
All right. Did you say anything interesting?
I was bebopping and scatting.
Okay, great. Now I've shut them
out. Trying to find that name.
Okay. So give us the Cole's Notes version on the story.
Cole's Notes version is our good friend, Andy. There it is.
Sure.
That's his name. Well, it really is. I found it. Our good friend Andy, who'd gone on the Vancouver, the British Columbia, Canada, the Calgary trip.
Yeah.
Took his memory card out of the camera and accidentally formatted it prior.
And he sent a very, kind of help me email, sort of begging that you could tell him how he could get his images back.
That is correct.
Right. Okay.
And so basically we said, hey, look, they're not gone. What they've done is they're still there. They're just marked as zeros, and don't worry, they're still there. You can retrieve them. Well, he tried it. He tried some of the methods we talked about and was able to retrieve about half or 40% of them.
Okay. Is that good?
Yeah, that's a bad percentage. He should be able to get all but one or two usually.
If he stopped shooting.
Yeah, he did stop shooting, but here's what happened. Is there's different kinds of formats. There's just basic format where you boom like you do normally, mm-hmm. and that's the version we talked about two episodes ago. And then there's something called a low level format, which not only does your camera just erase the images, it actually writes over them with ones and zeros just to kind of cover it up.
Okay.
So they're gone. So some sort of security thing, like if you're like the Falcon or the Snowman or something like that, and you're going to go and take pictures and hand them off, maybe you want to, do a low-level format to erase all evidence that you've been behaving like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell by your voice you're a big Christopher Boyce fan.
Mm-hmm.
Read the book, mm-hmm. Falcon and the Snowman.
Yeah,
good book.
Yeah, great.
Okay. Anyways, so that's what he had done. I don't know why he had his camera set to that. I mean, if you're going to sell your memory card, which, P.S., I don't know how you could these days. They're basically free. But if you're going to sell it used, you might want to do a low-level format just to make sure that all the stuff is actually erased. But luckily for Andy, he had hit stop formatting in the middle of the low-level formats. That's why he was able to retrieve, you know, 40, 50% of his images, because it hadn't done the full format yet.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Had he just done the basic format, he'd have had almost all of his pictures. So there you go.
So is that a setting that you have to specifically go into your camera and look for, low-level format?
I would assume that the factory setting would be just a basic regular format, and you would have to then go and tell it to do a low level. I don't know if it's even on the Canon. I don't care. It's never been a thing for me. I've never worried about security. I've never worried about my selfies getting online or something like that. So I honestly think you'd have to go look. You'd probably have to enable it more rather than disable it.
Okay.
But have a look at that. So like I say, don't bother doing it is my advice.
Okay.
Did you shoot anything interesting?
I told you I shot Halloween pictures of kindergartners.
I wasn't listening.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. Okay. It was fun. Lots of good pictures. Yeah. Kids nowadays, and again, I don't know, I wasn't a photographer 20 years ago, but seem super camera comfortable. That's what I have to say. I probably took pictures. There's probably, I don't know, 50 different kids there because there's two classes that were sort of merged together.
Was this in the gym?
No. Between the two classes. They're side by side, the two kindergarten classes. So they kind of mixed them up for Halloween and put them in groups, and they kind of went through and did different stations and stuff. So let's say there's some kids that were sick in a way. So let's say 40 kids for round numbers. But of those 40 kids, I'd say 38 were camera comfortable, that stop what they're doing, look at the camera, make a nice smile, like wickedly helpful for doing this in a pain-free way.
Nice.
So I just did a 85 millimeter lens with on-camera flash with the black foamy thing, and I was super happy. Aside from the weird yellow fluorescent lights that they use in these classrooms, so the the light mixing is very difficult. You just get the flash temperature mixed with this weird yellowy background ambient light, so that part's a little off-putting. But if you get them close enough to the window, which some of them they turned out great because you could get the window light instead of the
window light as well. So you have the blue light, you have that weird fluorescent, and your flash. Yeah. three different sources.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it does look a little bit unusual, especially the background lighting. Usually I could get the white balance okay on the person, but the rest is just a yellowy, weird background light. So other than that, the photos are good.
Because you can't add like a tough green gel to your flash to sort of match it with the fluorescent, maybe, depending on what kind of fluorescent nowadays.
Well, and the problem is, too, is that I thought about it, and then I opted not to go for it because I was moving around. I was in the hallway, which has a different light temperature, and then also, like you say, the proximity to the window changes, and then the amount of window light versus fluorescent change. So basically, I was like, forget it. Like, these are not going to be photos that I'm going to put up in the living room. These are literally just going to be much better than anybody else was going to do under the circumstances.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I was happy with the results, and I didn't spend a ton of time editing because I just thought, hey, these are smiling.
These aren't my kids.
And it's smiling faces in their Halloween costumes. Everyone's going to go, aw.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So good. That's it. That's all I shot. How about you?
I didn't shoot that much on actually Halloween because I was busy fighting the barbecue guy. And then I've shot around the house a lot. We obviously shot out in the woods because it was nice weather when we were hiking and that, but a lot of window light in the new house.
That's good.
Like a lot of different sort of angles, like at different times of the day when the sun moves across the sky, it lights up different rooms, and it's a lot of really cool spots I'm kind of just getting used to, so...
So we
try to convince my kids to play there.
Yeah, we expect big things then. There's no excuse for any crappy photos to come here from you.
No, I'm very good at this.
Okay.
Yeah. No, actually, I did. I posted some to my regular Facebook. I'll post one online of my son, who just happened to be in a great spot for window light, and so I snapped away. I keep the 85 mil on my 5D Classic, just sitting in a drawer.
Yeah.
So I can run and grab it at any given time. As soon as, you know, my kid wanders into some good window light, I just run and grab it, and that's my kind of go-to rig right now.
Okay.
So there you go. So that's what I've been doing.
Great.
Photo challenge.
Halloween.
This week. Halloween. So, let's, mine first, yours first.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I like to give you the choice.
Yours.
Okay, here we go. There's mine, movie poster, go.
This is your go-to costume every year.
2 years in a row now.
But I think you might have used it for something Canada Day related too. Maybe? I think you did.
I don't think so. No, this is way too warm for July. That is a warm flannel shirt.
Oh, all right. I like it. I like the little setup. I like the pose. It's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My daughter too.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's what I was getting at. No, I like it. I like it. It's a good, and I like even the font. I like the how you did the font. It looks very good. The in theaters October 31st. It's like you knew what you were doing here. My only critique is that the camera trigger in your right hand?
I left it there on purpose.
Oh, okay. I was like,
I absolutely did.
I was like, because first of all, I thought that the hand position on that off arm looks awkward because, you know, that hand could be doing almost anything else than what it is doing. Mm-hmm. It looks a little bit unusual position. And then I thought, oh, okay, it's got to be the trigger. Why did you leave that in? Or why didn't you just turn your hand, you know, put it on your side or away from the camera so that you didn't have to see that? But there you have it. You did it on purpose. Why'd you do it on purpose?
Oh, I didn't hold it there on purpose. I thought I was holding it behind my hip.
Yeah.
But as you know, like when you have a 3-year-old in the picture, you have a very small window of opportunity
right.
to take
and,
a photo.
And you got the nice pose from her, the little head tilt and smile. So that, I'm guessing that was the one that you wanted, right?
That was essentially the one, yeah. And then I was going to Photoshop out, not my hand, but the remote, but I left that as what we call an Easter egg. For someone astute like yourself to pick out. So it's not even an optical remote. It's a radio remote. So I could have hidden it behind my leg.
Right.
Which I thought I kind of had, but turns out I didn't. But here we are.
It's a very good photo, so I like it.
Awesome.
I like the movie poster concept.
I can't wait to see this film. I don't know where it's going.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, she's going to kindergarten. First, you know, only kid wearing a costume. That's what I'm going with.
Okay.
And you're right. I did double up from last year on the lumberjack, but basically I ran out of time of, you know, moving into the new house, doing all kinds of stuff, had to fix up the downstairs so we could have the party room downstairs. So every spare second was taken up with other things.
Right.
So yeah, once again. So last year I was Johnny Canuck, this year I'm Lumberjack.
Oh, okay. So it's different.
Yeah. Yeah, totally different.
Great.
So there you go. Let's have a look at yours. Oh. Also movie related.
Yes. Yeah. I
love it.
I like to take pictures. I like to take pictures of the kids sort of in a studio. I've done this, I think, three years in a row where I like to take sort of a studio type shot of the kids in their Halloween costumes. And this year, Jack had an Iron Man costume, but he's a little tougher nut to crack when it comes to getting him to participate for this sort of thing. So the lure was, hey, you know how Iron Man does that thing where he shoots the light out of his hand? He's like, yeah. If you participate, I will make that happen. And so he was on board, just needed that. Sarah took his alternative costume because he had two that was given to him from some older boys we know and said, oh, you know, she's all in. She you didn't have to convince her. So she had a Superman costume and we did some
I love Superman. How she went with Superman. She didn't go Supergirl.
Yeah, well, she called it Supergirl. I'm calling it Superman, yeah. But
because Supergirl was terrible, the Helen Shaver movie.
Yeah, I never actually saw it. I saw pieces of it, but
terrible.
Yeah. So anyway, so this was the picture. So I took the picture of him. I put it on Facebook, the non-Photoshop version where it's just his hand in that pose. And what I thought in my head was I was just going to go off an old Iron Man poster. I'm sure I've seen this picture and just basically do a cut and paste and fancy it up to put it on his hand. Except for none of the photos I could find on the internet were high enough resolution in order to make the swap, keeping the photo in high resolution, which is what I wanted because I knew Jack was going to want to print it for his bedroom, right? So when I realized I wasn't going to be able to find a close enough match, then became the Photoshop time where I was basically coloring his hand and basically adding layers and trying to make the light spray. And I had a side-by-side I was doing of an actual Iron Man photo from one of the movies, and I was just basically trying to mimic it. So that is the result that you see before you.
Looks great. No, I love the background. It looks like a real promotional still from the movies.
And this was just one light. So, oh, here's where I was going. This was a one light photo with the Alien Bee. So this is the Alien Bee. Actually, I lied. It's a two light photo because I got my wife to hold a flash to spray it into the gray background paper behind him. So it's a two light photo. So there's the Alien Bee in a reflective silver umbrella that's lighting the subject. And then I've used that bounce reflector on his right side, camera left, to basically fill in some of the shadows on the other side of his face. So that's just silver bounce. So silver bounce to silver bounce. And then one flash pointed at the gray paper, just basically creating that big blast of light on the paper. And then what I did is I just used a vignette effect in Aperture when I was editing it, just to create the darker edges on the outside, which I kind of liked.
Looks great.
So there you go. Well, it was actually a very simple photo to take. The hour I spent Photoshopping was less simple.
That's yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so.
Was Jack surprised that you were taking the picture?
No, he wasn't surprised.
He looks a bit sad that he's Iron Man.
Yeah, and the funny thing is I have about four of these pictures, and one where he looks way more intense, and I just kind of liked this photo. It kind of makes me laugh. Like, I don't know, it just seems more Jack than the more intense photo. And so once I finished Photoshopping and I showed it to him, and I showed him four or five of the pictures, he's like, "Why didn't you do the mad picture? I like the mad picture better." And then I was like, "Oh, great. Yeah, not happening. At this point, not happening." So,
yeah. Yeah,
there you go.
And Tony Stark isn't mad, though.
No.
He's cool.
This sort of, "Hey, I'm confused. I'm not sure what's going on here" look is much more my son, so that's why I like that one. Yeah.
Great. Love it.
There you go.
All right. This week's topic
is?
Teach a man to fish.
Okay.
This is one of the bits of advice I got from my grade 8 math teacher. Actually, he was my math teacher for 3 years in a row. We'll call him Mr. Collins. Not his real name.
Okay.
Collins.
Holland.
Mine is a little bit more of a deeper reference.
Oh, I like Holland.
Promise you.
I like Holland.
Yeah, but we all know that's your dad.
Yeah.
In Mr. Holland's opus. I go much deeper. There's no way anyone's getting Mr. Collins.
Okay,
so.
I don't get it.
Good. No, I know. I know you don't. I guarantee you know it, but you don't know that you know it.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, so Mr. Collins here. Okay, we're set on that.
Yeah.
One of the things one of the bits of advice he gave me in grade 8 for a young 12-year-old Alan was, and the whole class, was if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, and if you teach a man a fish, you feed him for a lifetime. Now, I don't think he invented that. I think that's probably written down in the Bible or something.
Yeah.
But he's the one who passed it on to me at a very, you know, influential age, obviously. And I thought, wow, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And so that's why, kind of where our show started from. That's how the podcast sort of started. I mean, early on, when my friends started getting digital SLRs, before me even. Most of my friends had DSLRs before I did.
Okay.
Because they're all highfalutin lawyers and whatnot.
Yeah.
So they all had the money, because back then they were expensive, right?
I didn't have one before you.
No. And so I was still shooting film on a just a regular SLR, but you know, concepts are still the same. And so one of the questions was always, you know, obviously, how do I blur the background?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to learn how to take pictures. They wanted to learn how to blur the background. And I said, well, I can't really teach you that, but I can give you some pointers. I'll get you started in the right direction. And so I started a quote unquote blog. Now, it wasn't really a blog. It was just some free thing on, you know, Blogomatic or whatever the free blogs were. Do you remember those? Blogspot or something?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
And so I started basically writing posts on there just for my friends to read. Rather than sending multiple emails to everybody, I could just send one and go, okay, here's, you know, so-and-so had a question. Here's where you start. And if you wanted to read, you could read. And no one did. No one cared. They just wanted to learn how to blur the background.
Right.
And then I moved on. I moved from Canada. I moved to Germany. And that's kind of when podcasting sort of took off on its own. Like, it became a thing. was just coincidentally the time I was gone. And for me, you know, Canadian in Germany, there was no content. There was no television for me. There was no radio, you know, that I liked. And all of a sudden I discovered podcasts. And I thought, wow, this is like, I used to look forward to them. Like, this is great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I would listen to Smodcast, the Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier.
Yeah.
And they would do a once a week show. And I remember hearing it from episode one and thought, oh my God, this is awesome. So I'd have to wait the whole week for it to come out because there was nothing else I would listen to.
Okay.
And then one day, that goes on for a while, and then a couple years later, my wife, you know, in an effort to sort of help me fit in with, you know, German life, Googled Tübingen photographers. And the first one she came across was Tips from the Top Floor with Chris Marquardt, who I'd kind of heard of in passing briefly. But at that point, he'd been doing a show for about 5 years, and maybe longer, I don't know. And so I got in touch. I sent him an email, and like 2 weeks later, he shot one back and said, hey, let's go meet. He was actually like literally down the street from me, from where I was living. His studio was about a five-minute walk from our apartment. And so he said, yeah, let's go meet for coffee and just, you know, meet. And about 5 minutes into the conversation, he just stopped and said, hey, how about you come on my show? And I said, yeah, sure. I was really nervous, but I went and did it. And quickly found out that I thought, hey, wow, you know, I can do this. You know, I could probably put on a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So shortly thereafter, I had to go back to Canada for some work, like as I do every year. And
this story reminds me a lot of Rocky.
Yes. In which Rocky?
Rocky 1.
Rocky 4? No. Where they get all preachy about communism?
No, Rocky 1.
Real film with the Agrodome, by the way.
Real underdog story here.
Yeah, real. Yeah, well, it doesn't work. It doesn't end like that. I don't get a talking robot out of the deal.
Okay.
So there's that. So anyway, so I go to Canada, and right around this time, not too long before that, you had bought your first DSLR. Because you had kind of expressed some interest in photography. You had a point and shoot, and I'd come over with my DSLR, and you'd ask, you know, some what I thought were very, you know, intelligent questions. Instead of just, hey, how do you blur the background? It was like, hey, what about this? What about this? And you were thinking about buying one because, you know, you had the kids and all. And
right.
Your son would have been about, what, one?
Yeah, probably something like that. Maybe a little less than one.
Okay. So you had kind of thought about it, and you'd said to me this, I don't know, that trip, it was a little before then, you'd said, yeah, I'm thinking about, I'll probably wait until, you know, Boxing Day because they're going to be a massive sale.
Right.
And I said to you, well, you know what, they might, I mean, ultimately it might be $100 cheaper, but what about the pictures you're going to take between now and then? It was like 3 months or two and a half months or something like that.
Sure, said, well, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What about the pictures you take between now and then? Are those worth $100? And you just said, yep, they are. And went out and bought one the next day.
That's how,
with price protection.
That's how I do it.
That is how you do it.
Yeah.
No, I feel like I made a compelling argument and off you went and got a DSLR. And then what? And then I had flown home and you had your DSLR. You'd had it for a couple of months or whatever it was. And you know, I know you were kind of reading up on some stuff and were keen on it. And that's when it just occurred to me, boom, why don't we do a podcast? You and I. And you thought, what? What?
Yeah.
Is what you said.
I thought, why? why?
Well, I figured there's only 60,000 plus photo podcasts.
Yeah.
So why not, you know, one more?
Right.
And at the time, I had no clue where it was going to go. You know, like I knew the format. I knew what the format would be immediately. As soon as while I was pitching it to you, I knew what the format would be. It would be me sort of teaching you every week and hopefully break down this whole process of taking pictures into simple terms. Because the photo podcasts that I had heard, I'd heard a few of them, the bigger ones that you know of, and they kind of always talked in circles. And each of them, like each of the pros, like to talk about how awesome their pro camera was.
Right.
With their pro lenses and their pro flash and their pro bag and blah, blah, blah. And it always occurred to me, like, yeah, of course you can take good pictures. You have a $20,000 setup.
Right.
You know, it doesn't make you take good pictures, but it's a lot easier to do, you know, than having a bag of crayons and you know, a piece of wood.
Right, yeah.
So I thought, well, why don't we do a show where we break through all that nonsense and we just try to, you know, get to where the rubber meets the road, just demystify the whole process, because taking pictures isn't that hard. It feels hard if you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels difficult. And when you look at your camera and there's 19 settings and you think, oh, my, I'm never going to get this. The idea was to break through that. I think that's what we have done and continue to do.
Mission accomplished. We can stop now.
You really are quitting. But one of my favorite resources online, besides Tips from the Top Floor, of course, Chris was a big help, and you heard him at the beginning of the show. But one of my favorite resources was Strobist. He doesn't really post too much anymore. But he left all, but David Hobby left all of his archives up online. So if you want to learn how to take awesome, well lit photos for very little money, Strobist is where to go.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you're doing, Strobist is going to bury you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get to a certain level and understand what all the different. If you're just shooting in your green pumpkin mode, full auto, Strobist isn't for you. Our idea was to get you to that level so you can go in and really kill it with Strobist. And I think that's kind of what you've done.
Thank you.
So so along the way, to get to 200. Now, 200, for those who don't know, I'm sure most of you know, it's we produce a show once a week only. It's every week, but it's only once a week. We never double up. And that's been all, just shy of 4 years now to get to 200, and we never missed a week. Now, part of it's that's awesome because the birth of my two kids and a lot of travel and stuff like that. That's kind of impressive, but I wouldn't say it's my show, but I do the post processing, so it's a little bit easier for me,
right?
Schedule wise and whatnot to be consistent. And you have a day job,
mm-hmm.
But we figured out that consistency is important when you're producing a podcast.
Correct.
Because so many shows go out there and, you know, they'll do two episodes this year and then wait 3 years, and people kind of lose track. But being consistent is important if you want to be a better photographer as well, is you want to keep building on the things, you know, reinforcing the things that you have learned and then building on top of those skills.
Right, yeah.
Which is kind of what has happened with me with how to produce a podcast, because I really didn't know how to do this before we started.
Right.
So,
and I think
this is the.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that probably the reason that my learning curve has been so sharp, I'm going to say that I think you'll concur, is because of the every week, always working on it. Like, there's never been a week in 4 years that somehow photography hasn't been a part of that week. Whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, a photo challenge, or whether it's, you know, something that I just wanted to do for my own family or friends, or how potentially jobs that I have done as a result of it. It's just been photography has been almost a second full-time job just in the learning department. But, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think people would be listening to the podcast if they didn't in some way feel like I do, in terms of it's really something I enjoy doing and not something that I think of as work or as a job. But the consistency part of it is really the key to the learning curve. I think for a lot of people who say, oh, I want to learn, they inevitably follow it with, oh, but then I put my camera away for 3 months. And I just don't think that you're ever going to really make it concrete in your mind unless you're doing lots of reps.
Absolutely. I get emails like that all the time from people who basically say, yeah, you know, if before I discovered your show, I would put my camera away, or you know, I'd use it for the first couple of weeks and then be discouraged and put it away.
Right.
You know, and so, but at this point, this is the point of the show that I wanted to, you know, say thanks to Adam. That's you.
Okay, great.
The commitment.
Always committed.
Yeah, no, but every single week, and some weeks it's been tough. Scheduling's been tough. Like today, you had to get up at, you know, 7 a.m., after daylight savings, by the way, which I should mention, everybody reset the time in your clocks.
Yes.
The clocks in your cameras, so that you know, it matches up with your life. So make sure you do that. But and after, you know, so daylight savings, and so maybe I guess it's actually easier because it's technically you got up at 8 today. But
oh, yeah, yeah.
Regardless, week in, week out, you know, and there's been some times where we've had some scheduling issues, or so one of us, it's been difficult, like, oh, boy, you have to do this at a bad time, or, you know, whatever ends up happening. But no, every single week, and somewhere along the way, I forget where it was. We used to basically record, and then I'd produce the show and put it out, and then just publish it right away. So it would come out on a Tuesday or a Thursday or whenever we happened to record it. Then it occurred to me that, you know, regular is nice, and so I started going with high fiber. Mm-hmm. Two different stories.
Totally different.
I started releasing the show on Monday mornings in German time, so it's late, you know, late on the Pacific Coast. On the coast, West Coast, late Sunday night.
Because?
I wanted it to be first things first. Like some people, some of our listeners had mentioned they like to listen to the show on the way to work, on their commute. And so I said, okay, well I have to pick a day at random. I just think, you know, Monday's always a fresh start. And so we're gonna publish it every single Monday morning. So for the last couple years, it's gone live at 7 a.m. German time, Monday morning. Again, consistency, very important.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so early on, though, the very beginning, we had between 6 and 8 listeners. You know.
those are people that could overhear us podcasting. Your wife. And, no, I was going to say your wife and kids and mine. Yeah.
Well, I didn't have any kids.
Oh, that's
then.
Right. Your wife and my wife and kids.
Yes, that's correct. They could basically, you know, hear us in the background. That was it. But it actually picked up kind of fast. I still don't actually know the real numbers that we have. I know we had to upgrade to unlimited bandwidth quite some time ago because it grew that much. And so, you know, thank you to all the listeners for basically accidentally finding us or telling your friends or however you got to our show or whoever you tell, really thank you. It's kind of funny because it's a weird thing because I don't care how many listeners we have. I would do the same show. Well, we would do the same show if it was just one listener or 100,000. It would be the same show. However,
I would try way harder if it was 100,000.
Okay, we're at around 200,000. I didn't want to tell you.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, yeah.
This is awkward now.
No, I don't think either one of us would try harder or less or whatever. But the you know, so the point is I don't care how many listeners we have. On the other hand, I very much appreciate the listeners we do have. Like so it's a weird kind of balancing act. So thanks very much. The other thing, quickly before we get into you know, more of your progress, there's going to be more of the show here. Five more minutes when I'm done.
Okay.
Mr. Collins there, this teacher from way back. I posted his picture, by the way. You can have a look. I went and took his picture a couple years ago because he meant a lot to me. And so I went and photographed him in his classroom just for his sake, just to say thank you for all the stuff he taught me. But one of the things he said, basically, now these numbers might be off because I didn't write them down. But if you read something, you'll probably remember 10% of it. If you memorize something, you'll remember 50%. But if you can teach somebody how to do something, you will remember 90% of it at least. That's a big jump from going from reading to teaching. So, in short, I was able to reinforce my own photography and skills and expand on them by, quote-unquote, teaching.
You're welcome.
And learning from them. Yeah, exactly. I mean, okay, great. I wish I could take credit for your progress. I wish I could say, oh, yeah, I taught Adam how to be a photographer, but I didn't. I put the info out there. You had to do it. It wasn't like another teacher, my woodwork teacher, we'll call him Mr. Burcham.
I know. I know that reference.
Yeah, I know. Everybody knows that reference, I think, or a lot of people do. His name wasn't that. But he used to say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him wear the bathing suit. That was always his big quote he thought was hilarious. But I can't make Adam wear a bathing suit. You know, now it's getting awkward. But you had to go. I put it out there. You had to go and do the reps.
I'm not a strong swimmer, by the way.
But by me, you know, having to basically formulate a topic each week and put it out there and expand, and especially early on, build the episodes in a logical progression, it really reinforced my technique, you know, and I expanded that technique. I learned other things and you know, brought things in, or we'd have guests on, like Don Komarechko would come on, or hanging around with Chris Marquardt, or Amber would come on, Dwayne. And so anytime we would have a guest, I'd basically add a little bit of knowledge to this, because I was able to, quote-unquote, teach.
Right.
So that's my advice to other people listening. Once you've learned, you know, a technique, show some of your friends, even the basic stuff. Show them how aperture works. Show them this and that. I guarantee you'll be much more proficient with it yourself.
Right.
So, Adam.
Yes.
Where have you gone photo-wise?
Well,
that's such an open-ended question.
No, here's the thing. I mean, I can sort of sum it up. I mean, pretty simply, just in terms of what's happened in the last week, because this is appropriate. And I don't even think you know this, but so you knew that your sister had asked me to shoot her wedding, right? So,
correct.
So, you know, we scheduled the date. I'm assuming you're going to be in attendance, so you will mm-hmm. you'll get to see me as the wedding photographer in person this summer. So since then, I guess your sister was talking to another soon to be bride, showed her the engagement photos that I had taken of her and her some of the ones I posted on Facebook. She loved them. She wanted my name, and, you know, your sister referred her to my website to see the rest of my work, in which she also really liked, and said, I want to hire that guy, and then since has contacted me, and now I'm shooting two weddings this summer already booked.
Nice.
So I never wanted, and I think I've said this before, wanted or intended to be wedding photography, but here we are, you know.
That's how it goes. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, like we've said before, it's a lot of hard work.
Yes. Yeah. It's sort of, and I was saying to Lisa, and this is kind of how the I guess it starts, right? For wedding photography is like you do one and then you do two and then you have photos to show. And then somebody says, hey, you know, you do photos, do you do weddings? And then you show them the other weddings. And then all of a sudden now you're shooting a bunch of weddings. And, yep. And the thing I said to Lisa is I didn't want to shoot weddings before I'd shot one. And it's kind of one of those unknown things that, you know, you feel like there's pressure. You don't want to miss their moment. You don't want to mess it up for them. Like, that's kind of how I thought. Not that I didn't think I could do a good job, just that I always thought, oh, somebody else can do it better. And there probably are lots of people that can do it better. But I also think I can do it pretty well now, having seen the results of a couple. Now there's a confidence that comes with doing it. And then when I got in touch and was talking with this girl, I didn't misrepresent myself at all. I said, you know, just so you know, I've shot a grand total of two weddings. So you can look at all my stuff. I can show you pictures of those weddings, but it's a grand total of two. And, you know, I've done lots of family and portrait photography, and here's my website, and you can check that out. And her response was, wow, you are wildly humble. She said, you're wildly humble. We love your stuff. Doesn't matter at all, you know, your wedding history or experience. We've seen your photos. We love them. We want you to shoot our wedding. So that's kind of what
and
it came
down.
And
Alan did a good job teaching you.
Well, and I kind of threw you, I threw you in as a, the only reason I'm shooting Stephanie's wedding, because that's who she was referred by, was because, you know, that I'm good friends with her brother, Al. That's kind of how that one happened. So, again, I wanted to lay it out in terms of I don't want to say I'm a seasoned pro shooting weddings when I'm not. I certainly understand photography very well, and I think that can apply to any portrait photography, which is essentially what a wedding is. But, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, she really appreciated that sort of candor and honesty. And so here we are. So now once these two are done, then I can say I've shot four weddings.
Well, you can call yourself whatever you like, but it's hard to argue with success. So like if you say, look, I'm not a wedding photographer, but they look at your site and see a bunch of nice wedding photos, they say, well, I would like those. Now you're a wedding photographer. That's how it goes.
Right.
You know, and there are people who call themselves wedding photographers, and then you see their stuff, and it's terrible. You know, so you're a wedding photographer now.
Right. Yeah. And I'm not going to, I'm again, still not going to market that on my website or anything. I prefer to go the route of here's a bunch of my stuff. If you like it, contact me. If you have something in mind that you'd like me to do, that's kind of how I'm going about this whole thing, because I don't want to be inundated by photography work either. There's sort of
no.
I'm happy with just the occasional, hey, can you come and do this, which is sort of how it works for me.
But in the meantime, over the course of 4 years, you went from guy who, you know, unboxed the camera, didn't know which button was which, essentially. That's oversimplifying it.
Right. But it was largely true. I didn't know what any of the settings meant or did, so.
Sure. And so we broke that down and went, you know, step by step. And then at some point early on, you kind of were going faster than the show. But we can only go once a week. And we couldn't assume that everybody else was going to, you know, handle four episodes a week. And so, we, you know, you did sort of sandbag it a
little bit. Well, I was going to say, I'm kind of like a photography superhero. That's what I like in myself, too.
But you did have to sandbag it a little bit and kind of, you know.
Play along, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't just work on aperture for one whole week and then we moved on.
Right.
I mean, you probably did then, but later on.
Yeah, it sped up. And it for me, yeah. And I think in my advice to anybody who really, you know, is sort of on that verge of, you know, okay, what should I do next? I understand aperture and ISO is, you know, my advice is buy a flash, because in terms of understanding how light works, certainly you can learn a lot from ambient light, and you can shoot all of your photos with ambient light. But as soon as you start moving to adding external light sources, you just kind of understand ambient light better, I think is the way I'd look
absolutely.
At it.
Absolutely.
You know, because you always have to understand, like, okay, how much light is that going to produce, or where is that light going to fill in or provide shadows or all of those things. So as soon as you add one flash, I think I bought a flash, and then maybe a month later, it wasn't much more than that. I went and bought just I bought a Nikon, even though I'm using it with a Canon. I bought an additional flash because I was like, okay, I see what one light can do. What can two lights do? And then, mm-hmm. you know, a year later or 2 years later, whatever it was, then what can three lights do? And, you know, now I've got reflectors and umbrellas and softboxes and everything. But again, it all just started with, as soon as I understood how one light, you know, one artificial light could add to the existing ambient light, or potentially cut out the ambient light and just use that one light on its own, it really helped all of my photography. So for me, that was the jumping off point. And I always wanted to say, I saw nice pictures that people took of their kids, you know, on Facebook and social media. And I thought, okay, I want mine to look different than those. I want mine to look like they could have been on the cover of a magazine. And I know that light is very different. How do I produce that? And that's where all the off-camera lighting stuff came in. And that's where the strobus stuff comes in. And I read a ton of the old strobus stuff. And it really, I mean, it was that information coupled with what I was getting from the podcast and mixing it together. And just, again, just enthusiasm about the whole thing that sort of, you know, made for the learning curve. So,
and for me, the takeaway also is your goal wasn't, okay, well, I want to be a rich wedding photographer.
No, far from it.
Your idea was, you know what, like, and again, the same thing with the show. It wasn't like I sat down at the beginning and thought, all right, well, here's how I'm going to buy a Porsche. We're going to do a podcast.
Right.
You know, I knew full well that the benefit of doing the show was the exercise of doing the show.
Right.
That I will learn a whole bunch of new skills and have a basically, you know, a dedication to something, have a discipline that we do it every week, and that's going to expand in the rest of my life in a positive fashion. And that's what you've done here, is basically said, okay, what's the downside for you to learn photography? Okay, you spend 4 years doing this. Well, you actually learn much faster than 4 years, but here we are at year four. The worst case, if you never get a job, you have some fantastic pictures of your kids growing up.
And that's what it's always been about. And that's really all I still care about. You know, all the the photography work does for me is essentially, you know, funds more gear that I want, right? Like that's it's never going to be a principal source of income. Or I say that maybe I'll retire early from physiotherapy and it will be a principal source of income. But no, the bottom line is that it really was just meant for that purpose and still is meant for that purpose.
Absolutely. Now look, let's have a look back and compare. You sent me one of the first photos you took with your new DSLR before we did the podcast, before we even knew what button was what.
Okay, yeah.
And there you go. So this is your daughter 4 years ago.
Right.
Now let's compare that with this week's challenge photo. Pretty big jump.
Yeah, I would say so, you know? For sure.
Now obviously your daughter's cute and all that, but she'd be cuter if she was in focus. you know, if the colors weren't washed out, if the, you know, the white balance was proper, all, you know, this and this. Now, as snapshots go, this is completely fine. Now, there's nothing to be embarrassed about.
No, I even thought for the time, I thought it was a really good photo.
Sure. Compared to what you're doing with your little point and shoot or your iPhone at the time or whatever, you know, camera phone you would have had, it's light years ahead. But then compare it to what you're doing, I would say, relatively effortlessly with the Iron Man shot.
Yeah.
You know, because, okay, a little bit more setup work in terms of getting the light set up and stuff like that. But in terms of execution, not a whole lot more.
No.
And pre-Photoshop, anyways.
Yes. If it was just the shot without the Photoshop, this was not a difficult photo at all. I just had to have the stuff and the know-how. That's where the show comes in, right?
Now, I think I'm going to point out why I think Adam was successful and got to the point he was at. Besides, you know, doing it every week and all that, you were a blank slate.
Right.
You didn't come in like it's like, you know, you joined the Marines and we just on day one broke you down and got rid of all your bad habits and then built you back up again.
Right.
Fortunately, you didn't have any bad habits to break down, nor could I break them down.
Right. It's true.
But people come in that way. They say, you know, like, I've used my camera on auto for 4 years now, and yeah, I want to learn how to do it. But they have this muscle memory of the camera just doing it for them, and they're scared to fail. They're just, what if I go and take an AV mode and I don't know what I'm doing and I miss the moment? Well, too bad. Do it anyways. So you didn't have a fallback. You didn't have a history with auto mode.
No.
Really?
No.
A couple weeks maybe.
Yeah, I didn't have not a DSLR history, but point and shoots are auto, so.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So no, I didn't.
With the DSLR.
I didn't have any history.
And my advice to those people who are afraid to miss a moment because they're going to get, you know, they don't know what they're doing. Well, you'll learn really quickly. If you don't know how to swim and someone pushes you into the deep end, you're going to learn to swim pretty quickly. You might miss a couple of moments, but in the course of a year, do you know how many moments your kid's going to have?
A lot.
At least six. Oh, my, more. They're going to have a lot of moments, and you don't need a photo of every single one. I've learned that along the way.
You know, I just think that, you know, we should somehow taper people's expectations a little bit. If they're new to the game and they're listening to this and they see my wild progression, they're going to think they can do that too. And I'm going to, like, you know, like the weight loss commercials say, results might vary. Being that sort of, if you, you know, got a hold of Wayne Gretzky before he played hockey and you gave him a puck and a stick and he turned out to be Wayne Gretzky, that's kind of how I look at myself with the camera.
So. Oh, I feel like I'm more of a Mario Lemieux.
Yeah, so.
Now, not then.
Right.
I mean, now, he's still pretty good. But no, but you look at a guy, okay, that's a great example, though. Because, sure, results are going to vary, but we do leave all of our episodes online in the archive. So you can go back from the beginning and listen all the way through if you want to. I don't know who does, but if you want to learn, it's there. And you know who did that? Matt. So we're giving a shout out to Matt.
Oh, he did that.
From Ontario.
Somewhere in Ontario. It was like
I'm going to say Thunder Bay.
No, I don't think it was Burlington or something.
Burlington. That's the coat factory in Washington, dude.
there's a Burlington in Ontario, too. Or yeah. Brampton or something like that.
I'm going to say Owen Sound.
Sure.
Anyways, so Matt, if you're listening, which hopefully you are, you know, Matt went back and listened to them, and he did all the photo challenges in, like, retroactively. because he wanted to learn. He wanted to progress. Now, I don't know how much retention you can get from, you know, blowing through 7 to 15 of them in a week. I mean, it does take some time to build and basically, you know, build up a retention of that info. But that's something that you can do. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and parrot that back.
And here's the other thing. There's a similarity here with Matt in that he also, I think he just recently published a website and mm-hmm. with his stuff, and he's got like, yeah, I think he's doing some work as a result of photography as well. Like he's got some pictures on there of some of his work, I think paid work. So, you know, there's definitely like it's out there. So there's other people that have made this progression along with the podcast. It's not just people listening for the sake of a few chuckles.
Absolutely. The last reason I want to mention why I think Adam was successful is that you were willing to fail.
Always.
You're okay with it. Yeah, but that's a big thing. Is not everybody likes to do that. Not everybody likes to look, quote-unquote, look bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's times where, you know, your pictures, by your own admission, have been awful.
Oh, absolutely. I still take awful pictures a lot of the time.
Well, me too. There's some that I keep because I'm like, oh, I gotta keep that. You know, my kid took his first steps, but it's out of focus. And, you know,
yeah.
Lens caps on, that kind of thing. But, you know, of course, they're not all Rembrandts, every single one of them. You know, barely 75% of my photos are Rembrandts. But don't be afraid to look bad, because guess what? You're not going to look bad very often, and not for long. All of a sudden, you're going to find out that your pictures are getting better and better and better. So that's why I highly recommend be willing to fail, because you're gonna learn from that.
Yes. I agree.
I think that's about it.
Great.
So Adam he's really not quitting the show.
Oh.
I'm asking you. I don't know.
Oh, I'll let you know next week.
Cliffhanger. All right. So there's that.
Yeah.
So I want to say thanks again to everybody.
Including Amazon.
We didn't even mention Amazon. No. That's where, like, yeah, like I guess about a year ago now, or a little bit more, but, you know, we had the opportunity to have the Amazon affiliates, and our listeners were great about buying every, like, little things, even, you know, not just big purchases, but little things too, and it all adds up, and they click through our site and go use Amazon exactly the way Amazon was meant to be used, and no change by clicking through our site first, and we appreciate it. Basically, it keeps the podcast, it keeps me from having to pay for the podcast.
Great.
Because for the first couple years, it was essentially I was funding it. Not only was I, you know, not making any money, it was costing me money, which was I wasn't too upset about, you know, because it was a write-off, so it's just free.
Right.
But at this point, it doesn't cost us any money. It's just our time and effort, and we're happy to do that. At least I am. And Adam is too, and so are his kids and his wife, who now have magazine photos for photo albums.
That's right.
Great to have. So next week's challenge, I didn't think of one. I thought maybe you could start for 201.
Don't have one.
What do you?
I wasn't even sure I was going to be back next week, so I wasn't thinking that far ahead. kind of thought I was going out with a bang with Iron Man.
Yeah, well, there's a sequel, Iron Man 2, buddy. Now, Iron Man and Superman, they're different universes, right? One's DC, one's Marvel.
I know. I was going to put that in the... I have a picture of them together, and I was going to put Marvel versus mm-hmm. DC. Didn't we have a challenge that you had sort of chambered from like a week or two ago that we sort of were holding off on?
Was it Fog?
Yeah, Fog.
That was the long... Yeah, but I can't guarantee I'll get Fog this week.
Neither
that
can
happens
I.
Once you get the Fog. Then we go, oh, now it's this week is Fog because I've done it.
Okay.
No, it's up to you, man. Dealer's choice. Let's like, what would you like to do? What's your favorite thing now that you have a, you know, fancy new light? I don't know.
I'm drawing a blank. This is awkward on 200. haven't we covered it? How about we go back to an old faithful, because it can be used in a number of ways, and do a black and white. It's been a while.
You got to be kidding me.
Why?
You interrupted me. I was about to say, let's do black and white.
Wow.
Honestly.
That's how in sync we are.
Do you want to know why I want to do black and white? Is because I finally hung photos in the new house.
Okay.
And well, I'll talk about that on a different podcast, I think. But I was really particular about it. And I thought, in my office where I am right now, I only want to have black and white photos because I'm artsy like that. And so, boom. Genius idea. Black and white. Let's do it. Next week's black and white.
Okay.
Oh, before we go, I didn't think we had time. You know what? I don't think we have time. Sorry, Don. Komarechka.
You're not gonna play his thing?
He got bumped. No. He'll play it for 300 or something like that.
Oh.
No, come on, here we go. We have a nice message from Don Com.
Hello, two hosers. Congratulations on your 200th episode. This is Don Komarechka just calling in with a nice little thank you note for producing such a wonderful podcast over the last 4 years, I think. It's fun to see, you know, the hard work and excellence that Adam has put into this particular show and how he's grown as a photographer and to sort of watch all of that change. And it's just it's exciting. Every podcast has some laughs and some jokes and lots of fun knowledge and some great inspiration. So thanks very much, Adam, for making such a great podcast.
Well, there you go. Big fan of you as well, evidently.
Yes, I think that sentiment is echoed by our listeners.
So I know you were going to quit the show. I think I'm going to quit the show now and go move to the woods and just cry.
Yeah, I'm going to continue on now that I know that this is a one-man deal.
Yeah.
So everybody look for that. It'll get published once every 16 years.
Like a Terrence Malick film.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Websites, Adam. Oh, well, thanks again to Don for sending that in, and thanks again to Chris Marquardt, because as I told Chris, you know, Chris was a big reason, big inspiration for me doing the show. Like, he was really, as a guy who has his own show, was really supportive of me doing it. Yeah, you should totally do it. Knowing full well that I couldn't compete with his numbers, he didn't really care. But no, he was really like, yeah, jump into the already saturated market. Welcome. No, he was good. He was really good about it.
Welcome to the pool. You're sitting on my lap.
It's it's a great attitude to have as a photographer and just in life, to be so confident in what you do that you invite others to do it too. Yeah, sure. Come on. Never be protective. If somebody asks you a question, hey, how do you shoot this? Tell them. I've dealt with people all the time. Oh, I hear them get asked a question. Oh, how do you shoot? Oh, I can't tell you that. It's a secret. Yeah, there's no secrets anymore. You know what the secret is? Be good at stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you don't have to protect ever, ever, ever. Do you think Amber Hughes went out of business when that girl stole her photos? No. I mean, don't steal photos. That's not the point. It was kind of lousy that her photos got stolen and it all kind of got sorted out and blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't like it ended. Oh, geez, forget it. Amber's not telling other people, oh, don't get into wedding photography. She's not mad at you for doing wedding photos.
Okay.
She knows.
I haven't heard from her lately. So.
Well, she knows that no matter what, she has a very similar attitude that I do, I think. Is she knows that no matter what, you're not going to compete with her. She is that good at that one specific thing and other things too, but she's very, very good. And if you get better than her, she's going to work harder and get even better. And that's just great. Everybody wins in that scenario. So there you go. That's more advice. And it was reinforced by Chris Marquardt's attitude, tips from the top floor.
Do I get to see my website now?
See your website. Is it tips from the top floor? Because that would be a good tie-in.
No, it's adamschwartz.ca.
Check it out, everybody.
Yeah.
And my stuff at alannatridge.com and the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find everything you want to know about everything we just talked about. Happy 200, Adam.
You too, buddy.
Till next week, get out there and make better photos.